At this time, we're going to turn to our scripture readings, and there's a number of them. So rather than open up and try to flip through as we go through each of these verses, if you could all rise and I'll read the verses, and if you could just listen to God's word. The first set of verses comes from Hebrews chapter 12, and they're verses 10 and 14. Hebrews 12:10 reads, "Our fathers disciplined us for a while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness." Verse 14, "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." The next verse comes from 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. "And that is what some of you were, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. "Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. "Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." And finally, from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 21. "In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work." May God bless the reading of His word. At this time, we invite our senior pastor, Pastor Huang, to come up and share a message with us about pursuing holiness.
Last night, I was watching TV until midnight. When the ball was stopping, I made a New Year resolution. That is, Lord, help me to pursue holiness. Because this is the theme of this year. This thing was decided by all the pastors and elders. Because we realize this world, this generation, just like what our Lord Jesus said, is a wicked and adulterous generation, a dark and lost generation. Also like what Paul said, a cracked and a depraved generation. Our Lord Jesus cried out, "For you, I sanctify myself so that you too may be truly sanctified." I hope all the people in RCCC this year, we have a heart. We ask the power, the help from our God to pursue holiness. I think you can read from the newspaper. In the United States, every year, they spend about $8 billion for what? For the pornography industry. Pornographic movies and internet website programs. It's very dangerous, especially for young people. According to the survey of the Christianity Today, not only the world people watch those things, many Christians, even pastors, are watching those things. In the United States, we know the cohabitation without marriage is very serious right now. 40 years ago, there were only less than 500,000 couples, they live together without marriage. But last year, more than 5 million couples, only in the States. Last week, I read the newspaper in China. We all know in the past 15 years, the economy has grown very much. But the corruption, the graft, the swindle has been very serious. About $40 billion has been stolen by those corruption. Therefore, the need of this generation, the need of this world is holiness from God. Make every effort to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. This morning, we do not have much time, so I will preach very briefly three main points. The first, the importance of holiness. The second is the definition of holiness. The third, the pursuing of holiness. First, the importance of holiness, because God is holy. Holiness is God's attribute. And in the Bible, many, many times, God requests, God commanded His people must be holy. God says, be holy because I am holy. You can find many places in the Old Testament. God is a holiness God. God's children, God's people must reflect His holiness, must have His holiness. So we are God's children. We must have our Father's character. This is God's heart, God's will. If His children, if His people do not have holiness, His heart will never be satisfied. So the first reason, our Heavenly Father, He is holy, and He requests all His children must be holy. And the second reason, because this is the Bible's emphatic teaching, holiness, this term, was used more than 1,300 times in the Old Testament, more than 270 times in the New Testament. A true Christian, a mature Christian, you have to obey the Bible's teaching. The Bible's important teaching is all God's people must live a holy life, make every effort to pursue holiness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The third reason, because if we pursue holiness, we may be used by the Lord as a noble vessel. Otherwise, we cannot be a noble vessel in God's hand. We all understand if you use a cup to put tea or coffee inside, the cup must be clean. No matter what material, what shape, the important thing, the cup must be clean. Otherwise, the master cannot use this cup. If you want to be a noble vessel in God's hand, the first requirement is holiness. If you pursue holiness, if you have more God's character, God's holiness fill our heart, then we become more valuable in God's hand. We become more noble in God's hand. We can serve Him. We can be used by Him. So this is the first thing I want to share. This is the importance of holiness. All Christians must have this kind of resolution in your mind. Especially 2006, our church has set this topic as our theme. So I think many Sundays you will listen this kind of message. I hope all of us has this heart. Now the second main point I want to share is the definition of holiness. This is not very easy because in the Bible there are two meanings of holiness, two areas of holiness. The first, I call it a positional holiness. The second one is a progressive holiness. The positional holiness is the holiness we already got. It's a holiness we already achieved. We just read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. But you were washed. You were sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Holiness is something we already got. It's not something we do not have. So this is a very important concept. Paul told people in Corinthian church, those Christians, we all know, they were not good Christians. They live in division. They have quarreling. They have jealousy. They have sexual immorality. They sue their brothers in the court. Corinthian church, Corinthian Christians, they do not have the manifestation, the life of holiness. But Paul said, you were sanctified. You were saints. You are sanctified in Christ. So this is the first kind of holiness. I call it is positional holiness. I will explain later. The second is progressive holiness. The progressive holiness is concern our behavior, concern our thoughts. So in the 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, Paul says, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That means bring holiness to complete in the fear of God. This means our behavior, our thinking, our thoughts gradually become God's thinking, God's thought, and the behavior can live according to God's will, God's thought. This is behavior holiness. And this holiness will fulfill in our life progressively, gradually, day by day, year by year. We haven't complete, we haven't perfect those holiness yet. So we have to keep bringing holiness, then we can complete the will of God. In the life, we fear the Lord. These are not contradiction ideas. If you read the Bible, you know in the Old Testament, very clearly, there are two ideas opposite to holiness. Two things are opposite to holiness. The first thing is sins. Of course, it's very easy to understand. Our deeds are against God's moral law. We are against God's Ten Commandments. Like if we commit murder, we commit adultery, we steal, we lie, we covet. Those are sins. Those are not holiness. But the second thing we've got to understand, in the Old Testament, something is holy, another thing is common, profane. So the Bible says we must distinguish between the holy and the common. What means holy? What means common? This means the relationship with God. If anything is belongs to God, that is set apart for God, that is holy. If anything do not has any relationship with God, that is common. For instance, an ox, you can use it to pull a car, that ox is in a common situation. If an ox, you offer it on the altar, then this ox is sanctified. It is holy to the Lord. So a piece of gold, if you make it to become a necklace, I ask you, is holy or common? Please answer. It's common. If you put the gold or your necklace into the offering box, then it becomes what? Holy. That's very easy. That's the teaching in the Bible. That's nothing to do with the moral issue. Only the relationship. If this belongs to God, it set apart for God, it becomes holy. If this has nothing to do with God, this is common, is profane. So, we world people, before we believe in Christ, before we become children of God, we belong to the world. We were controlled by Satan. We live for ourselves. One day we heard the gospel. The Holy Spirit touched us, moved us. So we repent. We come back to God. We trust our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept Christ in your heart. From that day on, you were not only justified, you were sanctified too, because now you belong to God. That's why Paul called Corinthian Christians, they all are saints. You all are sanctified in Christ. The positional holiness is we got it at the same time we were justified. When we trust our Lord Jesus Christ, you were justified, also you were sanctified. So all of us, in the positional meaning, we all are saints. We can be called saints. But the important thing is, Paul exhorted Corinthian Christians, not only we have the positional holiness, we have to pursue holiness. We have to let God's holiness become our daily living. We should, by the power of the Lord, by God's grace, we don't commit sin anymore. If we keep committing sins, you are like Corinthian Christians, only have the positional holiness. You do not have the progressive holiness. You do not have the holiness in your behavior, in your thoughts. Therefore, all Christians, we should remember, we still need to pursue holiness. This is why the church set this topic as the theme of 2006. Pray, all brothers and sisters, we do have this heart to pursue the holiness from God. Now, I want to share how to pursue God's holiness. We do not have too much time. I will say very briefly. I still want to say three things. the first things we've got to know, holiness is God's working, not by our own power. We cannot become holy. You cannot, just by making decision, making resolution, you can become holy. No way. No way. If you only by your own power, you will experience what Paul has experienced in Romans chapter 7. You can make up your mind, but you cannot fulfill your decision. So only by God's power, by God's working. In the Bible, God works in our heart by three methods, by three channels. First one is by the Spirit of God. Many, many Bible passages tell us how can Christian become holy is by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the working of the Holy Spirit, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. So we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Many, many passages. I do not have time to read it. Remember, the Holy Spirit not only gives us new life, He dwells in our heart, lead our life, then help us, move us toward God's holiness. Every day, Holy Spirit move in your heart. Remember, if our thought, if our idea is in contrast with God's thought, the Holy Spirit will make in our heart, let us some disturbance in our heart. We live a life without peace. This is the moving of the Holy Spirit. So Bible say, do not put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves us, don't reject His ideas. If we disobey the Holy Spirit, then He will grieve within us. And the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So we just follow the moving of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit comes from God, from the Holy God. He would like to change us. Let us have His heart. If we do not follow His instruction, He will grieve within us. We do not quench His fire. Do not put out His fire. Just like Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, when he saw the throne, when he heard the praise of the angels, holy, 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 the Holy Spirit moved his heart. He know he is not holy, so he said, woe to me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. When we see this world, this is an unclean world. Also, our heart sometimes was controlled by the unclean thoughts. If we repent, if we confess our sins, the Holy Spirit will keep working. Let God's thought, God's thinking, maybe live in our life. That's very important. So the first thing, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not reject the moving of the Holy Spirit. Do not put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Do not let the Holy Spirit keep grieving in our heart. If we follow the moving of the Holy Spirit, He will lead us in God's will. The second thing, the Holy Spirit will put to death the misdeed of our body. This is in Romans chapter 8, 13. Holy Spirit dwell within us. One important thing He is doing every day, put to death our old man, put to death the flesh, the power from the flesh. A Christian every day has struggling. I myself, the power of the flesh, and the Holy Spirit dwell within us. We know the battle is going on every day. We should know the secret, how we can experience the victory. The victory is not by I myself, but only by the Holy Spirit. Many times I think about David and Goliath. The fighting between David and Goliath, David can represent I myself. Goliath can represent the flesh, the power of the flesh. But David said, I come to fight you not by myself, because David is a small kid. Goliath is a giant. David has no way to fight Goliath. But David said, I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. So David fight Goliath. David has the victory. The secret is by the power of the Almighty Lord. In our heart, there is a battle going on every day. You want to be good, but the power of the flesh leads you to commit sin. If you fight by your own power, you will experience, I will lose the battle. If you rely on the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit will put to death the power of the flesh, will put to death the misdeed of the body. So each time when Satan's temptation come to you, remember, pray to Lord, help me. By your almighty power, I will overcome. The power of the Holy Spirit will set us free from the law of sin. We know sin, just like a law, lives within us. A law, what means a law? For instance, you drive, when you see a red light, you got to stop. That's a law. Only higher law can overrule a lower law. You can see ambulance or fire engine, they just pass by the red light because a higher law protects them. Now, the sin is a law within us, control us to commit sins. A higher law is the law of the life of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us and bring a higher law, the law of life. The law of life of the Holy Spirit. If you live according to the higher law, then you will be released. You will be set free from the law of sin. This is the teaching in Romans chapter 8. Brothers and sisters, God made us holy by His Holy Spirit. He moved in our heart. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is willing to put to death the power of the flesh, set us free from the law of the sin, only if you are willing to obey Him. You are willing to make your mind, Lord, I want to pursue holy. I want to be holy. I can't do it by myself. Lord, help me. Help me by your power of the Holy Spirit. By your Holy Spirit, put to death of my misdeeds of the body. By your Holy Spirit, to set me free from the law of sin. If you do not have this desire, If you do not make this decision, even the Lord wants to help you, He cannot fulfill His power in your life. This is what the church in Corinth, the Corinthian Christians, they still live in division. They still live in jealousy. They still live in the sexual immorality. They still live in the lawsuit between brothers and sisters. So Paul encouraged them. Paul exhorted them, purify yourself. Make up your mind. Fear God, so the Lord will work in our heart. Then the fruit of the Holy Spirit will manifest in our life. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is the life from above, is God's character, is God's life. Brothers and sisters, so first thing, remember, we follow, obey, rely on the Holy Spirit. The second thing, God walks through the Word of the Bible. That means God's Word. Jesus prayed to the Father before His crucifixion. He said, sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. God's Word is truth, can sanctify us. Also, Paul said, make the church holy, cleansing the church by the washing with water through the Word. Water represents the Holy Spirit. It's in Ezekiel chapter 36. Through the Word, how can the Holy Spirit working in our heart? Through the Word of God. Through God's Bible. Because God's Word is God's thoughts. It's God's thinking, God's idea. Only when man's thought are replaced by God's thought, we can live a life according to God's will. We can live a holy life. How can God's thought become our thought? You got to read the Bible. You got to memorize the Bible. You have to study. Then God's thought replaces your thought. God's thought is always higher than our thought. God's way is always higher than our ways. God will work in our heart. Then we can be changed. God's thought, God's thinking, God's idea become our real life. Then you can experience holiness from God. So dear brothers and sisters, I encourage you, keep your quiet time every day. Read your Bible. Meditate on God's Word at least 30 minutes a day. I encourage many times to our Mandarin congregation, I do not have too many chances to encourage you. Remember, start from tomorrow. Spend at least 30 minutes every day. Keep your quiet time. Read your Bible. Meditate on God's Word. Memorize His Word. And God's thought will become your thought. God's idea become your idea. Then you can live a holy life. A life we can manifest God's life in this wicked generation. Now the last thing I will say very briefly. God sometimes, maybe this is His last channel to work in our heart, is the discipline of God. If we quench the Holy Spirit, we let the Holy Spirit keep grieving in our heart, we keep disobeying the Word of God, God has to discipline His children. I don't think I need to spend much time on this. In the Bible, many, many examples. For instance, Jacob. Jacob, he cheated his brother and cheated his father. God has to discipline him. So God let his uncle Laban to cheat Jacob. I don't need to explain the detail. So he worked 14 years for two wives, then another 6 years for his uncle. Then he was cheated 10 times in his payment. If we keep doing wrong things, we do not want to repent. Sometimes God has to discipline us for our good, so we can become like him. We can partake his holiness. Like Jonah, God asked him go to Nineveh, but he went to other way. So God let him stay in a big fish belly for 3 days. I cannot imagine how a people can live in this kind of situation, but God made Jonah change his mind after 3 days. I hope all of us only use the first two channels, don't use the third channel, to pursue holiness. I hope all of us follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit put to death the misdeed of our body. Let the Holy Spirit set us free from the sin's law. And let the Word of God, the thought of God, replace our thought, replace our ideas, then replace our ways. We live a holy life to please God and to become a noble vessel in God's hand. We can glorify God and become other people's blessing. May God bless all of you. Shall we pray? Dear God, our Father, you are a holy God. Thank you, you want to give your holiness to us. You want us to share a holy life. You already provide many channels to help us. Pray, our God, our Father, keep working in our heart. When we have this desire, when we make the decision to pursue holiness, you let us really experience your holiness. Thank you, our God, our Father. We pray in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.